Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs 29:25, if you would, please. I wonder if one of you might raise up your voice and read that verse nice and loud for us. Remember, the air conditioning is going, so some of us hearing challenged folks need to have a good loud voice. 29:25 in the Proverbs. Okay, the fear of a man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord shall be exalted. Yours has? Mine has safe, secure, set on high. I have been thinking about this, not to the extent of a whole Sunday school lesson, mind you, but actually I've been doing some just a little thinking, and I was going to write on this subject, so I thought I'd bring it to your attention since I have the opportunity this morning. Does somebody want to give me an idea of some other places in the Bible where I can find the same kind of idea? Maybe think about where, in what departments of your life can that be true? The fear of man brings a snare. Where could that snare come? Where could you fear man? Well, tell me where others can fear man, and maybe it'll apply to us too. The Pharisees feared man. Herod feared other men more than John the Baptist. Yes, I can see what you're saying there. How about in terms of evangelism? Where in the Bible might you see something about that? Maybe let me give you a hint. Opposite of fearing man would be what? Well, okay, Anne has something for us. Loving the praise of men more than the praise of God, right? You see how that's kind of the same idea. You know, I'm talking about a whole circle here of kind of a spectrum of ideas. How about pleasing God rather than pleasing man? Where else can you go in the Bible for that notion? How about if we look in Galatians chapter 1? And somebody read Galatians 1, verse 10. Okay, so here's the idea of persuading or pleasing men. Or pleasing God. So, who do you fear the most, I suppose we could ask? The person that you seek to please the least, or the please the most? How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number... 6. Okay. sorry, Brother Mike. I misspoke. I said chapter 1, verse 6. I meant chapter 2, verse 6. Yeah. Okay, so here he's saying we didn't seek glory from men. If you actually go back to verse number 4, they were entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God. Their highest aim was to please God instead of pleasing men, fearing man. Where else could we find some examples of this? Acts 5:29. Let me look at this verse here. 5:29 in Acts. Yes, that's a very good one. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Anyone else? David. That's right. Now, what about Galatians chapter 2 now? I'm still thinking of verses here, and you are too, I hope, that relate to this idea. The fear of man brings a snare. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Let's start at verse 11. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." And of course, his behavior had an effect on the others. It says in verse 13, "And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." Fear there drove them into hypocrisy. Isn't that interesting? They feared. He feared those who were of the circumcision. Those are Jews who believed that you needed to be circumcised in order to be saved, right? And so he became intimidated by them and, in effect, changed his doctrine based on that intimidation. Any other examples that you've thought of, Ben? So that could be an answer to my previous question. What's the opposite of the fear of man? Well, boldness could be. Remember, the Lord taught us that we should not fear man who can kill the body, but what? Somebody speak up. Yeah, man can only go so far, right? He cannot cast the soul into eternal punishment. How about 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. Fear, by the way, relates to shame. You might be ashamed of something. in front of people, ashamed of the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began. So there is the idea of being ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, not having been given a spirit of fear. Maybe that has jogged your memory about another verse. Exactly the one I had in mind. Romans 1:16. Does somebody know it? Off the top of their head, go ahead. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and neither should we be. That would be fearing man. The fear of man brings a snare. Those who trust in the Lord will be safe, yes? Okay. Okay, that was Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Okay, Bill Smith. Okay, there's confessing Christ before men. The parallel passage there, Bill, in Matthew is Matthew 10:32. I'll just read that to reinforce it. This is a verse that the Lord used in my life. It says, 10:32 of Matthew, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Any others? We've run out of steam. Yes, David. About being content or so maybe also fearing in you know what's going to happen to your retirement or your financial position. The guy who has a lot of riches, what does the proverb say? Can he sleep well? No, he's always got some concern because the more stuff his hands are in, right, the more things are going wrong. So. Anyone else? Ben. Oh, fearing persecution. 1 Peter 4:12, just later in that chapter, everyone says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. That persecution is going to come. And yeah, that's a good point, Ben. Yes. Yeah. Intimidated, yeah. That's good. That's good, Josh. Peter was fearful of men. Fear of man brought a snare to him, right? The snare ended up being that he denied the Lord. Not something we want to be doing, is it? Let me ask you this, since we're running out of steam on these Bible verses. How does this apply in your life? Let me put it this way. When you have the fear of man, the fear of people, that can cause a snare which, let me put it in general terms, could be some sort of disobedience to God. Okay, so the fear of people causes you to disobey God somehow. The fear of people might cause you to disobey God by not doing any kind of evangelism, not opening your mouth to testify about Christ to somebody who needs to know Him. Right? That's disobedience. In other words, that's sin. So the snare is, in the end, some kind of sin. If you're fearing man more than you're fearing God. In what ways can you disobey God? This is where I was going with my thoughts and writing on this subject. Dwayne? Mm-hmm. You might give in then and give up your testimony, as it were. Because they who are against you outnumber you. Go along to get along, but you've forgotten that God plus nothing is a majority always. Mike? Trusting in the Lord, huh? Fearing and trusting, yeah. Laura? Uh-huh. So the age of the earth. So you can fear the consensus of science and cave into an unbiblical system of belief. It's basically what you're saying, right? Fearing man. Okay? Mike, another example? Well, yeah, we just need to do the right thing. But that's another Sunday school lesson. But remember that there's only about, at most, 10% of the population that's probably born again that can trust the Lord, right? So that's not a very big portion of people. Don't expect to be liked by the world, John 15:19. That's Anne's paraphrase. It's true. Yeah. Why should we be surprised? There's no surprise there. We talked about an example yesterday at men's prayer, and I thought I'd just rehearse that with you. And there was another one that I was thinking of. You know, let's suppose that God's given us a command to be hospitable one to another, hasn't He? Now, let's suppose that you are a homemaker and you have had the opportunity to have people over, or you have, you do have the opportunity. Let me put it that way. You have a home. You have food in the refrigerator. You have a table with chairs. Even if you didn't have the table with chairs, you could still invite people over to have Christian fellowship and hospitality with them, right? But here's an example of something that happens. I am ashamed of my house. I don't have the best food to put on the table. My house isn't clean enough. It's not good enough. What is that? There's pride in there, of course, but what else is there? What are we talking about this morning? This is what I'm trying to get to. Fear of man. So you say, you know, the family, the homemaker says, I can't invite pastor over to my house or these other people. I mean, they would think that I'm not a good, you know, homekeeper. My house is too humble or something. Why do you fear man and what man is going to say about that? The reality is, as believers, first of all, you invite me to your home, I'm going to be so thankful. I'm not going to notice the cobweb in the corner or whatever else you're worried about. Right? Or I will understand perfectly well that not everybody is as affluent as everybody else. I can understand that, right? But why are you allowing the fear of man to prohibit you from following a command of God? Hospitality. Should be hospitable. But my house isn't good enough. I'm too prideful and I fear what they will say about me. Or, you know, fashion. There's another one. Why do we dress the way we do? Okay. Okay. So you were impressed by that. I see. You're looking at it from a different perspective, from the Christian perspective. Somebody that's worldly is not going to want to live there. Bill? Thank you for saying that last one, brother, because on Sunday, September the 11th, we have a scheduled baptism. I don't have anybody who's committed to it yet, but I put it on the calendar because I'm expecting that somebody needs to be baptized. Well, I know some people do, but I'm hoping that they will follow the Lord and be obedient, not be afraid. I know exactly what Bill's talking about, personal experience. Get over yourself. Get over your fear of man. And obey God, flat out, plain and simple. Don't let the fear of man cause you to disobey God, whether it's in baptism, whether it's in hospitality, whether it's in church attendance. There's another example that we were talking about. We kind of had a laugh about it. You know, somebody has a family function and a recurring thing happens, you know, you're always invited on Sunday afternoon about 5 o'clock, and you know, you I hope have a little bit of a struggle in your mind. Well, should I do that or should I go to church? Or you know, I had this very thing, very exact same thing with regard to Christmas Eve services starting about 10 or 11 years ago. You know, when you start dating your future wife and then you've got two families and you're pulled in two directions instead of one direction, and my family would have a Christmas Eve thing and we'd try to come to church and then rush over there, and it was just a mess. You know, it was too much. And we finally, I guess you could say in a sense, we made our decision. We're going to put the Lord's things first, and then we'll do the family and the gift exchanges and all that. And after we did that, then I guess we kind of trained our family to know that that's where we're going to be. And so now we have our Christmas Eve gathering on the eve of Christmas Eve, and it's never a problem. See? And nobody's, you know, losing out on anything or anything like that. But you could be in a situation where, you know, people inviting you to these family functions and conflict with church activities and events, and you might say to yourself, well, but if I don't go to that family function, then what are they going to say? How are they going to react, right? Isn't that how it is? Come on, let's just be open and honest about it. I think so. And you, in a sense, I think you can see where I'm going with this, that you fear them. You know, what happens is, and this is where we were laughing yesterday, I said, you know, your family, in a sense, puts a guilt trip on you if you don't show up, right? But let me be the bad guy. I come along and I say, where were you on Sunday? Pastor, don't lay a guilt trip on me. But I'm just doing exactly what your family just did. Why can't I do it if they can do it? Right? It's an interesting dynamic that we fear man, and it causes us to be at times disobedient to God. In fact, any fear of man is disobedience to God. You fear, I guess, in that sense, what you value most highly, right? You value the opinion of man rather than the opinion of God. Isn't that true? Yeah, so something to watch out for. Think of, you know, one of the people that went out on the outreach on Saturday last said that it had been a while since they went out and did any evangelism like that. How many of you have been out on an outreach like at the art fair or in some other public place on campus? Come on, raise up those hands. Where you've gone up to people and talked to them about the gospel and don't even know them. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way or that's the best way. Many times it's not the best way, but you've had some experience with that. This person said, it's been a while since I did that, and every time I do that, I get, you know, kind of a fear of man is basically what they said. You know, I know that I'm supposed to be going out and sharing the gospel with people, but I get afraid. I get uptight. I get butterflies, all that sort of stuff, you know. So much so that many times it causes us not to want to do it at all, right? So that's the fear of man. Any other practical examples? Ben. Very strong influence that has on us as young people. Sometimes that carries over into adulthood and shouldn't, you know. That's why I was asking, why do you dress the way you dress? The keep up with the Joneses mentality. I mean, there's materialism there, but He's also, you know, I value their opinion very highly, so much so that it becomes I'm almost reverencing them rather than God, right? Any other practical examples? Dwayne, sorry, didn't see you back there.
Years ago, when I was in the financial industry and in insurance, I had an opportunity to go into people's homes and counsel them. And you could be impressed when you walk into someone's house to see what they have. But when you peek behind the curtain and they have to lay out their financial needs, things didn't really add up. Hmm. So when you counsel them as to, well, maybe get rid of this and get rid of that, they didn't want to do that because they had it for so long. And what are people going to think if they get rid of that? And I said, well, are you worried about what you're going to have in the end when it comes to retirement or what you have right now? Because it was probably, I would say, 2 out of 10 people really had their finances in order, but the rest of them were different.
Mm.
And so that sort of taught me not to be so impressed with what people have, because if you look behind the curtain, people may not be what you could have.
Yeah. Well, maybe they have that huge house, but if you were actually to look inside the window from the outside, you might see no furniture in there. Yes. Early empty. Oh, yeah. That's something. What does the fear of man do to us? I tell you. But there's probably a lot of narrative passages in the Old Testament that could be brought to bear on this subject this evening. I'm trying to think of some others. Which passage are you thinking of? Genesis 12:12. Oh yeah, there you go. And that didn't happen only once, right? It's a repeated offense that Abram said to them, to his wife, tell them that you're my sister. Because if they think you're my wife, then they'll knock me off and then they'll have you to themselves. So tell them you're my sister. Because why? Because then they would treat him well for that. Right, because they would have to appeal to him to marry her, so the sister relationship was more handy at the time for that. Michelle, that was a great lesson, David. Oh yeah. Yep. That's a good paraphrase. Whatever. You stand up in a crowd and speak out against abortion or homosexuality? If not, why not? Because you fear man? Brother Nkanga has a comment on this subject.
Yeah.
Sure, but the fear of man. Fear of man brought a snare to her before, but when she was released from that, then that brought glorious liberty to a child of God. That's good. You ever go out to out in town, out on campus, and would you be caught dead carrying your Bible openly? That's another one I had. I finally realized after probably, I don't know, after my undergrad, they're carrying around everything in this town. And they show everything on their T-shirts. I'm going to carry my Bible. You know? What am I fearing for? That's nonsense. You know? This town needs a little bit of Bible in it. A lot of Bible in it, that's right. Well, I bring that to you kind of ad hoc, impromptu, but from the heart. That I, for myself, and I high hopes for you as well, that you do not fear man because it brings a snare, but those that trust in the Lord will be secure. And I trust that you will do that and not allow fear of people to cause you to disobey God. God is your Lord, and He is the boss, and He is the one to be feared. Don't fear those who can only kill the body, but fear Him who can kill both body and soul in eternal punishment. And He is the one that we need to fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise that and fear man instead. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank You for allowing us to look at this morning and pray that You will burn the lesson deep into our hearts, that it's a practical kind of lesson that we can think about and reflect on today and this coming week, and help us to be, like Paul, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Help us to take the wisdom that's given to us in Proverbs. Help us to just learn these lessons and be like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and these men who did not ultimately fear man but feared You. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to study Your Word, to read it, and to reflect on some application. Help us as we move into the next service, that we will worship You with great gladness and with great strength to our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.